Word. Here we go. We're doing a series in young adults about character illustration. So the young adult meeting went something like this. Who do you want to do? who do you want to study? The leadership meeting that we had. And I was trying to come up with an idea of somebody, and I wanted to do somebody that I had never studied before. So my method was something, you know, like where you just open your Bible and you try to find a name of somebody that you've never studied before. And so, you know, there was no real scientific method to this. But what I came up with was a man named Naboth. And Naboth is an interesting guy. And I chose not to do a PowerPoint tonight for a lot of reasons. But I feel a little high-techy here, even though my my laptop is from like the 80s. You can probably tell. not kidding. But I'm gonna read off the screen because the lesson for me is a little emotional, and I felt like that it would be a better way. So it's a little bit untraditional for me, and I'm a little more uncomfortable than usual. With this kind of lesson. But I want to talk to you tonight about a man named Naboth and his inheritance. So when I first considered Naboth as a possible character study on the night of our young adult leadership meeting a few months ago, my interest in this man was only surface level. As I scanned the Bible for people I was more or less unfamiliar with, I was drawn to this man for a reason I did not understand. I chose him seemingly on a whim, more for the challenge of digging into the life of someone I hardly knew than because I had a pre-planned lesson ready to extract from his life. I liked that he was bold because I want to be like that. I was interested because he made a hard decision in the face of pressure beyond belief, again, to me, impressive. But I picked him for no real reason, so to speak. Maybe my best reason was that although only a chapter of the Bible is dedicated to his story, during that time he interacted with some of the most fascinating Bible characters recorded. He lived in the time of evil kings and queens and one of my favorite prophets, Elijah. All reasons, but still not very good ones. Like I said, surface level. In the time since that meeting and now, I have begun to see Naboth in a different light. I've identified with him in a way I never thought I would. Naboth's story is all about inheritance. It's something I've come to understand more lately than ever before. You see, today, the words possession and inheritance have become synonymous terms. When someone dies, one of the first steps is to read the will to determine who will receive the inheritance of that individual. Different families decide things in different ways. Some discuss it openly beforehand. Others may provide stipulations attached to the inheritance. For example, a person may have to be pursuing a certain profession, etc., in order to receive what was intended for them. For others, an inheritance may come as a surprise from an unknown relative, someone hidden in the family tree, who looked favorably upon them for some unknown reason. And for others, the inheritance comes as a welcome blessing, a gift from the heart of a person they loved, a way of remembrance. The word inheritance can mean almost anything today. Rewind several thousand years ago, and under God's law, inheritance meant something entirely different. This is demonstrated in the life of Naboth, an overlooked minor character on the stage with some major Bible personalities. Ahab, Jezebel, Elijah, and then Naboth. We don't really even have enough information about him to accurately sketch a proper personality profile of him. We have only one piece of information in the face of the often argued most evil duo in the Bible. He had the courage, he had the conviction, and he had the faith to say no. A simple word, but hard to get out in the face of every possible threat of opposition. Even a no with a good reason would be different, but Naboth was not like that. He said no because the Lord forbade it. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and all the patriarchs had all but forgotten had all been forgotten in the time of Naboth. Jezebel had influenced her husband to institute the worship in the law of Baal in the land of the Lord, and it was her word that went forth with power, not that of God. She ruled her house and her country with a firm upper hand, and when Naboth refused to comply, he knew he would answer to her. He knew this, his family knew this, his neighbors knew this. And yet in 1 Kings, we find a compelling story of bravery and of courage. The story, if you want to follow along, really begins at the end of 1 Kings 20, chapter 20, verse 43, where Ahab, the king, is rebuked by a prophet for not slaying an enemy king in battle. He is promised judgment and, quote, went to his house heavy and displeased. He was upset. In the face of this disappointment, embarrassment, and weakness, Ahab begins to look for comfort, and he finds it not far from home. The story picks up again at the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 21. A neighboring plot of land catches his eye. The Bible doesn't say how long Ahab pondered the land. Maybe he had seen it before and wanted it, and heavy-heartedness finally drove him to possess it. Or maybe in a particularly weak moment, he glanced at it and, like us, at times sought some retail therapy, right? Amen. Perhaps he was on a walk when he first stumbled upon this little jewel of land. However it happened, he coveted it. So Ahab went to Naboth and said to him, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Good offer, huh? Anybody else think that sounds good? It's fair, right? Right? How many people really would turn this down? First, the request is made by the king, a powerful figure in the life of any Israelite. Second, it just makes good money sense. Dave Ramsey would approve of this move. If someone came to me about my 96 Honda Accord and made me that deal, I wouldn't even think. Done, sold. As soon as your check clears, it's yours. I mean, I like the car, but who wouldn't upgrade if given the chance? So, did we have any takers on that? 96 Honda Accord, just think about it. It's way cuter than it sounds. But this is where it gets interesting in the story, because it was not a possession that Ahab was offering money for. It was an inheritance. It was forbidden by the law for a man to sell the inheritance of his family for any reason except extreme hardship and poverty, according to Numbers 36:7 and Leviticus 25. Even then, if they had to sell it in the year of release, it would be returned to the original owners. According to the commentator Dake, he said, in those days, such inheritances from forefathers, which had been passed on for many generations in the same family, were considered priceless. And to part with such was almost like parting with life itself because of the very dear associations connected with it. So Naboth's answer surprised Ahab. He said to him, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. These are the only recorded words of Naboth, and they are stunning in their simplicity. They speak of a man who was so secure in his convictions that money and power were nothing to him. In fact, in the face of what would be considered a fair offer, Naboth uses the word give. I will not give mine inheritance, not sell or trade. Give implies that the offered price was so low compared to the possession that it was almost laughable. If I sold you my car for $1, it would be, in a sense, giving it to you, right? $1.50 might be a sale. A dollar giving it to you. But Ahab had been fair. The offer was equal to the value of the land. Or was it? In fact, Naboth knew something that Ahab did not. The value of an inheritance does not change, no matter how attractive or unattractive it is to an outsider. Maybe it is junk. Maybe it's worth nothing on the market, but its real value can only be determined by its value to the possessor. Its real value can only be determined by its value to the possessor. Naboth knew that his piece of land wasn't worth any amount of money or even an upgrade to a new piece of land. He knew that it was a generational connection, the sweat of ancestors in the soil, the link to his past that was priceless, not the land. Everything can be appraised for value except an inheritance. This is where my understanding changed in the last month. I assumed a month or so ago that Naboth had refused Ahab based on a commandment of God not to sell your inheritance. I figured that he, maybe even reluctantly, had stuck to his convictions and told Ahab that it was impossible for him to break the commandment due to his religious duty. I applauded him for standing up for what was right when the chips were down. And really, maybe that's what it was for him. Maybe he told Ahab no with a sick feeling in his stomach, wishing that he wasn't duty-bound to say so. Maybe he wanted to sell. I was ready to build a lesson around that principle. It's important to stand for what's right, even when there's something to lose. But somehow, I don't think that that was the case. I don't know for sure, but I think Ahab was refused for another reason: the love of a generational heritage. I think Naboth didn't hesitate before he answered. I think he knew immediately before Ahab even got the offer out of his mouth what he would say in response. I think the no was a no born out of love, love for the past, respect for the people who wandered in the desert and fought off the inhabitants to claim the promised land under the guidance of Joshua, love for the people who tended the land hundreds of years before him, respect for the father who had put it in his care upon his passing, and even a love for the future generations that would come after him. What would he have to give to his children and his grandchildren if he didn't have his inheritance? Yes, it was against the law to sell it. God forbid it, Naboth said. His respect for God and the law cannot be ignored, but perhaps, just perhaps, there were other factors at play. I got a taste of Naboth's story recently. My family's home was destroyed by the F5 tornado that hit Joplin, Missouri on May 22nd. I went home 5 days after it hit because I had to see. I had to see what was left of my house, my neighborhood, my city before it was bulldozed and cleaned down to the concrete foundations. A lot of you know this story. My family had lived there my whole life. My first days are chronicled there in pictures. In the same room, the one where my bassinet once sat was there. It was my room for 29 years. Everything I remember about my childhood revolved around that home, my birthday parties, Christmas, Easter egg hunts, family celebrations, everything was there. As I walked through the rubble of what was once, to me, the most beautiful home in the city, I realized that my link to the past, to my past, was gone. I had accepted that one day my parents would be gone, but for some reason, knowing that our 104-year-old house, with all the memories, would still stand, was a comfort. All of a sudden, with those walls literally crumbling around me, I found myself in a desperate hunt for inheritance. I know I must have looked crazy. I know that my parents didn't understand my need to save some of the most random things, and really, I didn't get it either. The urge was indescribable. As they reached to throw something away, I would grab it from their hands and put it in my growing pile of junk. I know if you appraised it, it could only be called junk by price, but to me, it was an inheritance. As long as the house stood, I didn't feel the need to claim it, but knowing that it would be destroyed by bulldozers within weeks if I didn't take it made me reach into the trash pile over and over and over and pull out things that meant nothing to no one, to anybody else. I brought some of my inheritance with me tonight, a quilt, one of the five or six that I saved from mold, further decay, and ultimate destruction. They were soaked when I found them and I dried them on the back patio of the warehouse we were storing our salvage belongings in. I brought them home to Indy, and they sat folded on the guest room bed until last week when school was done. And one by one, I hand washed them in the bathtub and line dried them in the yard. The smell of the tornado in my house filled my nose and throat, and I found myself crying. tears rolling down my face as I gently washed each priceless treasure. Some were made by my mother, some by my grandmother, who died a few months before I was born, some by my great-grandmother, another person I never met. And yet, for the first time in my life, a generational sense of duty rose up in me. And I looked at the small stitches, and I imagined the hands that had made them, and the tears that had been shed over them, and the laughter that must have rung out around them over the years. I felt like a precious treasure had been placed in my hands, one that could not be valued. I felt like these women in my past would have been proud of me in that moment, carefully washing what they had slaved over for hours to create. I almost felt them around me as much as you can as I scrubbed tornado dirt stains from the fabric. The link to my past was the strongest I have ever felt in my life. And then I began to think of my future, realizing that I was only the caretaker of these treasures, and that I had a duty to keep them safe, to love them, and then to raise children that would value them as much as I did. Enough, maybe someday, to rescue them from the rubble of a tornado-ravished home, if need be. And that is what inheritance is, actually. It is a link passed between individuals that would have only a name in common otherwise. It is something tangible that represents so much more. It is the thread that strings the past with the future. My quilts will be part of my life until it is time to lovingly give them to my children, accompanied with stories of perseverance, duty, and yes, love and respect for the past. I really think that Naboth got it. He understood the law and what was required of him. If it was only the law that stood between him and selling his inheritance, he would still be a hero of faith. But I think it was love that caused him to answer with a resounding and convincing no that day. An end of discussion, no. He loved his inheritance, his land, with a generational love. The rest of his story is pretty awful. Naboth faces some pretty harsh consequences for his decision not to sell. If you continue to read in 1 Kings 21, you see a distraught Ahab go back to his palace and basically pout. His wife, the evil Jezebel, comes into the room and decides that she's going to get back at Naboth for refusing her husband. And so she comes up with a scheme. She writes letters in her husband's name. She proclaims a fast. She calls Naboth to court and then hires two false witnesses to accuse him of blasphemy against God and the king. She was evil. Eventually, Naboth is killed for his inheritance and finally stoned to death. Jezebel goes to her husband and gives him the vineyard that he coveted to start with. So he gets his vineyard. Eventually, Jezebel and Ahab are brought to justice by God and die very public and shameful deaths, as prophesied by Elijah. Naboth is avenged in the end. So that is the end of Naboth's story. Short. He's a man of character highlighted in only a small portion of the Bible, but remembered nonetheless. You may be thinking to yourself, how does this apply to me? I don't have a vineyard or even a family quilt to protect. I have no inheritance, and there you would be wrong. You actually have something much more valuable. You have a treasure that is stored in earthen vessels that cannot be destroyed by moths and dust or stolen by thieves or even picked up by 200 plus mile an hour winds. You have the truth. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the Word of God. You have eternal life as your inheritance. Maybe you're like me. The truth wasn't handed down to me by my family. There's nothing generational about this for me. I love the truth because God found me. Maybe you are second or third or a fourth generation Pentecostal. Maybe everything you've ever known is this beautiful truth. You look in your past and all you can see is this inheritance. Maybe you've never searched the pages of the Bible for truth. Maybe like Pilate asked Jesus tonight, you ask, what is truth? The answer can be found in the pages of his word. You don't have to leave here tonight without an inheritance. Really, it doesn't matter who you are or what your past is or who makes up your family. You see, the inheritance that I'm talking about is the inheritance that is passed down through blood, but not the blood of your family members. Even if every person in your family tree is part of this, they have no right and they have no ability to give it to you. And if every person in your family tree is not part of this, you have every right to receive a portion. Romans 11 speaks of the grafting process by which we are allowed into the family of God. Although we have no place in his kingdom, we were grafted or grown into the original tree through the process of Christ's redemptive work on Calvary. The blood that was shed by Jesus allowed us access to the inheritance of eternal life. 1 Peter 1:4 calls it an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Psalm 61:5b says that God hath given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. We have the same heritage, no matter what our background is. We are equal partakers of the heritage of the Lord. That is a beautiful thing, a heritage. We each, upon entrance into the family of God, are given that new heritage, and with it an inheritance of eternal life. What a blessing. But what a responsibility as well. Naboth knew that he owed his ancestors faithfulness to the inheritance, but he also knew that he owed the future generations access to that inheritance when it was their turn to own it. And he owed God to be obedient to the law that had been passed down through his family. He was the link between the past and the future. The inheritance had to come through him. So, who do you owe today? God, for sure. We all do. No one can really exhaust the subject of what we owe the Lord for our salvation and eternal life. But who else? Who suffered so that you can hold this truth in your hands, in your heart today? Who witnessed to you? Who discipled you? Who lived it before you every day faithfully? Whose inheritance are you holding right now, and how much do you value it? Remember, an inheritance is valued only by the value that the possessor puts upon it. Is yours priceless, or is it expendable? Will you give it away for nothing, or are you willing to die for it? And now look ahead. Who are you the caretaker of this inheritance for in the future? What children do you have or will you bear eventually who you will be responsible for leading to the truth with love and compassion? Who will you witness and teach a Bible study to? Who are you responsible for teaching to value the truth like you teach a child to hold a special heirloom dish with care? And more importantly, why are you taking care of the inheritance? Is it because the law says that you have to? Is it because of duty to parents? Is it duty to children? Is it because you're scared of what will happen if you don't take care of the inheritance? Or is it because you love the truth? Do you protect and care for and guard it because you value it above all other things in your life? Is there a generational love that wells up in you when you think of the truth? Like this quilt, do you love the people? The family that took care of it so that you could hold it in your hands? Do you appreciate the prayer warriors that travailed that truth would prevail and you would have the opportunity to be part of the church? What about the countless preachers, the apostles that died for it? They are your heritage. They were the protectors of your inheritance. Are you making them proud today with the way you represent God's love? So what are you going to do with it today is the question. As I walked into the ruins of my home,
and I looked around. I had a choice many times whether to pick it up or to leave it. And we have the same choice today. You can lay it down and let it be destroyed when the bulldozer of life comes through, or you can pick it up and treasure it and save it, hand wash it, line dry it, whatever you have to do to preserve it for the future. It's not really about a quilt tonight. It's not really about house. It's not really about me. It's not really about Naboth. It's not really about any of those things. It's about your inheritance. And what have you done? What have you done to protect it? I cannot explain to you the burden that I feel tonight. Maybe you think that somehow I was able to plan this, but I really believe that the Lord lined this up somehow. I was supposed to teach this lesson a month and a half ago, and it got canceled. And then I was supposed to teach last week, and we got switched. And here I am tonight. And I just can't tell you how burdened I am for the inheritance that we have. And I don't even know if I've communicated it well tonight. And I'm sorry if I haven't. I just worry that we've lost our love. And that's the burden that I have tonight. That we've lost whatever it is that makes you die for this. Whatever it is that makes you give up everything for this. I worry about it in my own life. I went through a house with more passion to find stuff that's gonna be burned up one day. Then I searched through his word for treasure. And I'm not trying to guilt you or shame you, because maybe I'm the one that's in need tonight of this lesson. But I feel like there are so many people before us that have lived and died and handed to us something so precious. And we have got to pick it up. We have got to pick it up, and not just for us. It's not about us. It's about the future. It's about those kids. It's about the kids that you're going to have someday. It's about the kids that you teach in Sunday school, the kids that you interact with. Are we going to be the generation that gives it to Ahab? Are we going to be the generation that says, sounds like a fair deal, kind of wanted an upgrade anyway, tired of this piece of land, lived here my whole life? Are we going to be that generation? Sometimes I wonder about myself. I don't know if I have what it takes sometimes to do what it's going to take to bring this to the world. I'm sorry if this has been communicated too emotionally, but if you'll stand with me tonight and let's pray. We don't have any music. We don't have what we normally have on a Sunday morning. But I wonder if you'll pray with me right now that God would give us a love again for the truth and an appreciation for the inheritance that he has given us. Jesus, we come before you tonight, Lord. God, through the story of Naboth, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to the hearts of every individual here. Lord, I pray that you would minister. God, I pray that you would let a generational blessing come upon us. God, that we would not be the generation, Lord, that would let your inheritance fall. Lord, that would sell your inheritance to the highest bidder. God, I pray that you would protect us, Lord, from the enemy. Lord, that you would give us the strength, God, to say no when it is time. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. God, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives. But I just pray, Lord, that you would touch us again. God, that you would let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn up in us again, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Give us a passion for your word, a passion, Lord, for those that are lost. Oh, Jesus, an appreciation for our heritage. Lord, we worship you. God, we thank you for all that you have done. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah. Jesus, help us. Help us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, we need you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, we got a few moments to respond to the Lord. Sister Katie's taught a very vulnerable lesson that strikes to the heart. Come on, let's just a little bit more. Come on, let's just press a little bit. Lord, we love you so much.